wrote in his autobiography about his life. And he's talked about the Gospels. And at one point in his life, he actually considered converting to Christianity. And he believed that Jesus could help the people of India with reference to the caste system they had, because the caste system divides a lot of people in India and different parts of the world, the caste system. So Gandhi wanted people to hear the gospel because Gandhi understood who Christ was. However, something happened in his life that kind of changed that narrative. One day he attended a Christian church on a Sunday morning, and it was a church nearby where he was actually doing some work in the community. And he was considering becoming a Christian. He wanted to find out more about Christ. He wanted to find out more about the truth of the gospel. And he was exploring, and his heart was very open at the time. Now, as I share this story, it's incumbent to understand as well that what happened in the situation isn't about the situation keeping this person from accepting Christ. So let's be clear about that. But what happened was, he went to a church one day, and as he entered the building, an usher had greeted him. However, because of the way Gandhi looked and his outfit and the color of his skin and whatnot, he was actually rejected from entering the church. The usher had refused to let Gandhi come sit in a chair to be a part of the service. And his heart that day, according to his autobiography, was to come and explore Christianity and talk to somebody in leadership about what it means to follow Christ. And this is what he said after he'd experienced this. If Christians have a caste system that's different also, I might as well remain Hindu. That usher who betrayed me turned me away from Christ. And so he felt betrayed in his spirit because he looked different. You can see the picture of him, and he looks different. And we as Christ followers are being reminded here in James chapter 2 that we cannot show favoritism or partiality to people. And in the context of this, he's talking about people that are both rich and poor. So in the first century, AD, there were many things that were going on. There's lots of poverty, there was slavery, there's a lot going on in society there. And James is reminding us that as we look on the chapter today, that those folks faced some hardships. People that were different faced hardships. And people today face those same hardships. However, with Christ, as we think about these barriers that are put up in our churches and how we treat different people in different ways, James acknowledges that. And he challenges those Christians there to recognize what they're doing. And it's a reminder for us as well that we think through this as well. Paul said this in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all alone in Christ Jesus. And we read in Colossians as well, Colossians 3, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, bond, free, but Christ all and all. So as we think about that, and for James and his audience, it took a long time for that truth to stick in and to fall into their hearts. And we see again in this epistle in chapter 2 that we see favoritism, and it's being practiced. As a matter of fact, it's called sin, showing favoritism, and James wants to point this out, because if we don't recognize that we're doing this in our spirits, we are definitely causing division within ourselves and the people around us as well. So I'm going to read some verses here from James chapter 2. The verses will be on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can turn there as well on your phone. So I'm going to start reading James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Now, some translations may say partiality as well. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you all have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do not commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now there's a lot here to unpack, and as we talk about favoritism and this idea that James is pointing out to these folks, and Scripture, we know, shows us that Jewish Christians were often shown favoritism in regards to Gentiles. That was going on. But in this epistle, the problem here is that people are showing partiality or favoritism between both the rich and the poor. And that's what James is saying to us. And we need to be careful about that, because we ourselves can do that too. Now, when we think of somebody rich, we may be thinking of maybe somebody who's got, you know, a royalty or a king or a queen, but we have to realize this too. We in Alberta here in Edson are doing quite well. And we have to consider that too in terms of how we treat people around our community and in our churches as well. And if we're showing special treatment to certain people because of their status, because of the way they look or the way they act, and we're not showing hospitality towards people that are different than that, such as poor people, and again, people that are different races as well, then we ourselves are committing sin. And you need to understand that we cannot show partiality. And this can happen in our churches. It can happen in our communities where we are very partial towards certain friends. We'll only invite certain people into our home. We'll have the same group of people we only hang out with. And then we exclude others that may not look the part or even play the part necessarily. In our churches across the board, and perhaps here as well, we have a tendency to perhaps look at the people in the peripheral and not treat them like we would anyone else. And we have to be aware of that as well. And James is reminding us of that we cannot be prejudiced in any way. In color as well. And that works both ways. People of color cannot be prejudiced towards others as well. And it works both ways. And we have to understand that. And it's a question for us to consider too this morning. And to really dig deep in your spirit. Ask that hard question. Have you ever shown partiality to someone else because of the way they look? Because of their status? Because of the power they may have in a community? Whether it's intentional or not, have you done it? That's a real big question for us to ask. And I've seen it happen in church, in the communities, that people will show and treat certain people a certain way because they have power or influence. Or they don't have as much money, so they treat them differently. And those are the people in the peripheral that are looking in going, how do I become a part of this quote-unquote club? And we have to consider that question for us. See, we cannot show partiality as Christians because of one reason. And it says here in Scripture, because of Jesus Christ, who is what? The glorious Lord. He is our glorious Lord. Now, you might be asking, well, what does that have to do with Jesus being our glorious Lord and showing partiality or favoritism to somebody else? Well, consider this. If we are Christ followers and we consider Jesus the glorious Lord, and we are following him, however, in our actions, in our way we treat people, prejudice, favoritism to other people, the witness we are leaving is we're telling people, essentially, that Jesus is the same way. Because we are witnesses for the kingdom. So how we represent Christ, now hear this, folks, really makes a difference in how people see Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's a lot of pressure. Well, the Holy Spirit can move in and through us, but we have to ask ourselves the question, What kind of witness am I when it comes to treating the poor, or even the rich for that matter, and other people that are different than us? And if we're not careful, the glory of the Lord that we have in our lives can be tainted, and we become people that show favoritism to other people as well. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus showed love to all people. And he warns us about this as well when we judge other people. Matthew 7 talks about that. That we don't judge, but we live with this attitude of grace in our lives. And we shouldn't have prejudice against people. And it's a question to consider as well for us as we think about that this morning. Now we think about how God chose poor people to honor him. The gospel was proclaimed to the poor. Mark 7 talks about that. And the majority of the people who responded to the gospel were poor people. They're the ones who are crying out and calling out. And everybody has called out to Christ. I understand that. Yet James is telling us in this context that people were being discriminated because they were poor. Yet the gospel came to the poorest of poor. And we see many examples of that in Scripture. And then we think about partiality and someone's race or their status in this life that they live. And they might even be a stranger, somebody we don't even know. How do we honor that person? Somebody we don't even know. How do we honor them with the gospel? The salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Because I think it's easy for us, if we're really honest, is to relate to people that look like us, that talk like us, that dress like us, that are the same skin color. I think we're more comfortable within that people group. And people that have less money, perhaps, than us in our community, we have less of a desire to connect with them. When we see someone homeless on the streets, we don't make eye contact, we just keep on going. You know, I can go on and on and on. And James is warning us about that, that we should not sow partiality, because the gospel is for everyone. Amen? Absolutely for everyone. Now, when you think about what's going on here, we look at chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, this idea of the rich were doing things to Christians in James' day. These are the ones who had a lot of influence and power, and they were taking advantage of that. They had a lot of resources as well. And that's what was happening here. And if you think about this too, the folks that are most likely to break the royal law, we'll get into that in a second, but the ones that have influence in our community, the ones who have money, the ones who have power, if you think of that for a second, those are the ones, and it happens here in the scriptures as well, that are the ones who are going to push back against the gospel, if they're not Christians, who are going to push up against the message of salvation. Because they have all the resources at their feet. And they can use that to stop the movement of the gospel. Now, I recognize the Holy Spirit is bigger than each person. And we have to recognize as well, how well do we live our life and how well do we use our resources for the kingdom? And there's royal law, as it talks about in verses 8 to 11, essentially is, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the most fundamental law God gave us. This is it right here. And the question comes up in Matthew 22, and I'll read this to you, verses 36 to 40. And Jesus is teaching with a group of people, and this question comes up, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And here's Jesus' reply. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So in order to do this, we have to start knowing Jesus to love him as well. To love God with all our what? Our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. When we do those things and have that a part of our journey and a part of our life, then we're able to love our neighbors as ourselves. People often say they want to be treated well. And we should consider how we treat people in this world that we live in. And James is saying essentially that and emphasizes this very clearly, like breaking one law, by breaking just one law, we become guilty of breaking all the law. That's a heavy statement when you think about that. And this law here, this royal law about loving God, how well do you love God? How well do you love God with all your heart, with everything you are, your soul and your mind? Does it encompass you? Does the fragrance of Christ exude from you? Because it starts there. If we don't have an understanding of God's love for us, and if we do not invest in our love towards God and understanding who He is in our life, we are going to have a very difficult time loving our neighbor. We are going to have a very difficult time looking at people that are different than us with the eyes of mercy and grace. If we don't have a love for God, it's very, very difficult to have a love for someone else. You can try it on your strength for a while, but eventually it's going to fail. And what happens too is when we see people through our own lenses, through our own flesh, what we do is we judge them. We don't see them with empathy and sympathy. We see them through our own human eyes, and we make comments like, well, I wish they'd get a job, or I wish they'd pick it up, I wish they'd do this. And we compare them to ourselves, and we're like, well, I'm not like that person at least. But yet, we have to recognize that if we break one law, we're guilty of breaking all of them. You know, one day, there'll be a judgment. And we think about the law of Christ and the gospel. The law of Jesus, the gospel has set us free. It has freed us from bondage. It has shown us mercy in Jesus Christ. And we are no longer restricted to man-made rules. There's no more sacrificial animal that needs to be taken out anymore. Jesus came to pay the price for every single one of us, and He showed us mercy. He showed us such deep mercy. And what does Matthew 6 say? For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's heavy. And that's mercy that we've been shown. And how well do we show mercy to others? James 2 says this again. My brothers and sisters, believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Must not show what? Favoritism. We need to understand that we have a glorious God. He has glory all around Him. Yet we should never allow sin of partiality or favoritism enter our hearts based on what somebody is doing or what they look like, or what money they have or what money they don't have. You know, it's an interesting thing when you think about us as Christians and being able to relate to people that are different than us. How well do we do that? I mentioned that earlier. And what's going on here in this epistle is there's division because you've got rich and poor, and the poor people didn't have the clothing or to dress a certain way, so the rich oppressed them. And in their oppression, they would look at these people like, well, they're poor, therefore they must not know Jesus. And yet that's such an arrogant thing to say as well. They may not be as deep in their faith as I am because I'm rich. And that's an arrogant thing to say as well. And James is reminding us that we are all on the same level playing field. All of us are. And when we consider the sin of favoritism or partiality, have you done that in your life? And I want you to be really clear and honest about this. I've experienced it myself many times where I have been judged as a pastor, as a Christian, because of my skin color. I have many stories I can tell you in the church that's happened to me. I remember entering a church one time and the usher and the greeter at the door would not let me in the building because of what I looked like. I could tell you more stories, but I won't. But I remember leaving that building that time when it first happened to me, and I was pretty new in my faith, However, I still understood this. And this goes back to our glorious Lord. I walked away going, if this Jesus that I just gave my life to are like these people that just met me at this church and treated me the way they did, I want nothing to do with Christ. And you might think, whoa, that's a pretty heavy statement. I've heard that from so many non-believers. And they look at us as Christians and they feel judged and condemned and treated differently. And they say, if this is the Jesus you serve, I want nothing to do with him. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit can reach any time. But have we done that? Have we lived our lives in such a way that people could say about us? Maybe something you did in the past, even, that you still haven't reconciled and made right, that's still festering, and people look at you and go, well, don't you go to church? Don't you know Christ? Aren't you a Christian? Then why do you hate that person so much? Why do you treat that person in such a way? Why do you act so pompous because of our resources? And it's a question we have to ask ourselves, friends. And it's a serious question as well, because James is putting it out there to say that none of us should show partiality to anyone, because Jesus offered us his full mercy to everyone. And what gives us the right to hold that back from somebody else or to condemn or judge? Friends, we don't have that right. We have the privilege, hear me, friends, the privilege to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a privilege and an honor. It's not a right. The right that's been given to us is eternal life in Christ, yes. And we can accept that. But let's be clear that our status as Christ followers brings us to this table as well, which is a reminder for us when we have communion that what? We are all the same. Yes, we're in different places spiritually. But the cross is the great equalizer for every single one of us. So friends, as you come here this morning, have you accepted the glorious power of Jesus? Do you know the glorious power of Christ? I hope you do. I hope those watching online do as well. Do you love God with all your heart, as we read that scripture? How well do you love your neighbor as yourself? I think for every single one of us here and those watching online, it's an area of growth for all of us. For all of us. And we should consider that. And we're going to take a moment now. And we're just going to spend some time in silence. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come into every crevice of our being, to speak to us and to show us, to percolate things maybe in our spirit that need to come forward that we need to make right with Jesus and perhaps other people as well. Friends, the sin of partiality or favoritism is real. It's absolutely real. And we need to be aware and allow the Spirit to show us when we're doing it. Because we have been saved. We have been given a gift through grace and mercy. Our substitute, Jesus, went to the cross. So let's take a moment. And as we are just spending some time in silence, I'll lead us in a prayer in a minute. The worship team will join us up here, and then we'll wrap up with a song. And that song we're going to sing is How Deep Our Father's Love Is For Us. And as we sing that song as the end, I want you to really focus on that as well. Let's take some time to pray together now. Father, as we come right now and in a minute of silence we'll have. I pray, Holy Spirit, you prepare our heart now, that you would speak to us, that you would search us, that you would find any offensive way in us. And I pray, Lord, we would not think this is for someone else, that we would not think we are past all of this, that we would be open and real and honest about what you're showing us. And Lord, I pray whatever you show us or bring to mind, help us not to forget. So Lord, Holy Spirit, lead us now. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for how deep your love is for us. And Lord, as we worship you now, as we continue to do that, I pray we take these words and reflect on them and understand what it means, how much love you have for us. And I'm so grateful for that. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for who you are. And that we would leave today understanding more of the depth of love that you have for us. And Father, that you would also deepen our love for everyone else as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.